I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. I'm at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and NIST HIPAA Summit, speaking with CISA Deputy Director Nitin Natarajan. So thank you, Deputy Director. You're here at the summit speaking about small and rural cybersecurity considerations. When you look at some of the ransomware and other incidents that we've been seeing this year, especially those that have affected smaller and rural entities, what are you most concerned about? Are there sort of common issues that you see them dealing with that maybe larger organizations aren't really faced with?
I think one of the biggest challenges is staff resources and prioritization, right? I think when you look at rural healthcare, you know, often your CIO is also your CISO, is also your CFO, is your COO, and is the night shift manager, right? And so how do we help these organizations that don't have a lot of resources to be able to implement strong cybersecurity tools? And I would offer, especially in rural healthcare, it's even more critical, right? When you look at large organizations, large cities, you know, where you have multiple hospitals in healthcare, the loss of a hospital, while still very impactful, because that's a significant patient load that has to be transferred, you have backup and you have redundancy, you have other healthcare within minutes. You go into rural America, you're talking about potentially hours to get to another healthcare institution. So the criticality in these communities to make sure that these healthcare organizations are able to continue to deliver emergency care and subsequent care is truly critical. So I think how do we help these organizations build resilience against cyber attacks, knowing that the threat is real and that the threat is not just in urban America in healthcare, but it's in rural America as well, and helping build that resilience throughout the nation. And I think giving them the resources, the capabilities, and the tools truly are critical in building that resilience across the nation.
As you sort of touched on, small and rural healthcare providers are often squeezed for resources. Many people wear different hats. There's a little cybersecurity talent, you know, small budgets, and there are resources from CISA that are available. I know the White House earlier this year had a program with Microsoft and Google to offer some free help for, you know, small and rural entities there. But during the discussion, it was also said that there are a lot of resources out there, but often, you know, these organizations feel overwhelmed. They don't know, like, what to make of it, what to do with it. You know, we know it's there, but we wouldn't know how to implement it unless you did it for us. How do you get around that?
I think one of the first things organizations can do, and I'll make a plug for our regional resources, is CISA has regional cybersecurity advisors, physical security advisors, and communications experts that are in communities across the nation. So these are 700-plus individuals in communities throughout America and our territories as well, that can help be that local conduit, that can help decipher the information that's out there, that could help you prioritize which tools and resources work for me. If I'm a small organization that doesn't have a lot of cybersecurity capability, this is what a good next step is. If I'm a mid-size and I have some capability, here's some more advanced steps that you can take. They can really help with that prioritization, with that access to tools and resources, that translation of what the federal government can bring to bear, what the private sector has offered in rural healthcare, and to really bring that entire spectrum of resources to the table in a way that almost creates kind of a plan for you to look at implementing that's unique and custom to your organization.
Now, you had mentioned resilience and, you know, trying to help the small and rural entities become more resilient. But as we know also, a lot of the small entities are often affected by larger entities that have incidents. You know, Change Healthcare was a big one. You had thousands of entities that were affected by that. You know, Change just confirmed 100 million people were affected by their incident. What lessons are emerging out of those sorts of incidents where it's not the small entity that was attacked, but it was a large entity that everybody depends upon, you know, this critical infrastructure type of entity? You know, the ones that are too big to fail, what are we learning from that moving forward?
I think there's two fronts on that. One is really understanding the supply chain and understanding what that ecosystem looks like. And at CISA, as we look across all 16 critical infrastructure sectors, what does this look like in every sector, right? There's a Change Healthcare company in every sector that sectors are dependent upon for the execution of their functions, both large organizations and small. So there's a lot of work underway to really understand the sectors, the risk that each sector is under, to understand that cross-sector risk and that dependency that exists in the space, so that we can make sure that we're building that resilience in the right places, so that some of these tools and services and capabilities that everybody in a sector is depending upon, you know, is able to be understood, is able to be mitigated. The risk is able to be diversified if needed. So organizations that were solely dependent on change had a higher impact than those that had multiple vendors, right? So I think that but making sure there's that awareness of what the sector looks like truly is key. I think the other piece of it is, a lot of our work on things like secure by design, we need to change the way in which industry looks at the development of software and hardware. We need to take the responsibility and onus off the end user, which arguably is the least informed on the cybersecurity elements, to these manufacturers. We need to make sure that security is being built in up front. We need to make sure that you're not paying extra for more secure versions of things, right? There should be security out of the box. We should not have default passwords, as we saw in the water sector, of 1111, right? That was problematic. There's things that we can do in these areas to help to build that resilience, and some of it, frankly, is on the end users. As I joke, you should not be taping passwords to keyboards, but there's also systematic changes we need to make in industry, and we're looking to push those as well. I think that combination of really understanding the sector and where those key dependency points are, combined with changing the way industry looks at the security of those critical points and how we look at hardware and software, is going to really strengthen that resilience of the ecosystem at large, which is going to automatically benefit large organizations, but more importantly, these smaller organizations that don't have the resources to tackle this on their own.
Besides ransomware, what other emerging developments, cyber threats, other things on the horizon that you're most concerned about right now when it comes to the healthcare sector, but perhaps other critical infrastructure sectors?
So I think more broadly, obviously, ransomware is still a huge issue. We're seeing, you know, if you look at different lists of victims, healthcare is always in the top five of sectors that are being impacted. I think the other work, obviously, is the work that we're seeing the PRC do in Volt Typhoon and the pre-positioning of on critical infrastructure networks across the nation. And we've been able to evict them off of some networks, but we know that activity is continuing. I think that's very concerning, and really with the intent of that is not espionage. The intent of that is not to collect intel, but it really is to disrupt the way of life and to sow discord in the United States. That to me is concerning, and the impact that it's going to have in communities, and whether that happens in a way that increases the burden on healthcare institutions during, you know, power outage or other types of events, or whether, you know, we start to see issues in healthcare itself, it's concerning and problematic. So I think there really is a change in the complexity and frequency of attacks against healthcare around the globe, and that to me is extremely concerning, especially given that healthcare facilities, and I say this all the time, if we go back centuries of kinetic warfare, we have never attacked healthcare. We've always protected the tents with the Red Cross. We've always protected the doctors and nurses. We've always protected the medics. They've been off limits in kinetic warfare. That is not the way we are seeing it in the cyber arena. And that change in the victim landscape and that willingness of adversaries to attack healthcare really is a shift over centuries of warfare.
And with that all in mind, what are your final words in terms of advice to the healthcare sector, keeping these things in mind? I know they're overwhelmed. Any one or two key pieces of advice that they should act on now?
I think the thing I'd offer is, for organizations large and small, everybody has a role to play, and we need everybody to play their role. And this is from the CEO and the boards to really understand the risks of cybersecurity and to look at cybersecurity as a corporate enterprise risk, down to, frankly, that clinician at the bedside on the night shift who sees a password taped to a keyboard to say, I'm going to rip this piece of tape off, and we're going to, you know, do this the right way. So I think that we need folks to play their role in this, and it's easy in the day-to-day to look over some of these basic things. That's why we're so focused on cyber hygiene, you know, password managers, multi-factor authentication, updates and patching, and reporting phishing and being suspicious of emails. It's having everybody realize that nobody's sending me $1 million via email. There's no email I'm going to click on and get $1 million. $1,000. Those simple things that frankly are things that we can all do in our daily lives, personally and professionally, can make a difference. So we just need everybody to play their role, and we can, you know, move these, I call them dimmer switches, right? There's no light switch for cybersecurity. There's 500 dimmer switches. We can move these dimmer switches up. And I think that is something we need to do in our day-to-day lives in the world that we live in today.
Well, thank you so much, Deputy Director. I've been speaking to Nitin Natarajan. I'm Marianne Kobasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.